Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn, and touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Drinking Bros. Put down grab a fucking drink.
John Bayman. John Bayman. Yeah, that's a buddy of mine from Kentucky.
I like that guy.
Yeah, you like that guy?
Shouting out old, like, high school friends? Like,
well, dude, listen. He was doing it the whole fucking time, so I thought I'd fucking
Jeff
do it.
Jeff Ritter is a fucking legend.
John Bayman is one of the biggest Red Sox fans I've ever met in my fucking life. And as well, we worked together at Texas Roadhouse.
I'm just saying.
All right, I'm gonna go Greg Darnell. We had a dong off in high school. He was the only one with a bigger penis than me.
You guys had like an official dong off?
An official dong off on the football team after practice. It came down to two sides of the locker because, you know, in high school you got about 60, 70 guys on a team. We it finally came to a head mid season senior year, and they asked us to lay our dongs down on the bench, and
we had a bench up. Hard?
No, we did not get hard. We did it flaccid. But here's the thing: I think Greg Darnell warmed up beforehand. He beat me by a half inch, and
he's a cheater.
It is still talked about to this day.
Greg's a cheater.
Yeah, Greg Darnell, still one of my best friends. Actually, named a movie after him.
You can be best friends with a guy that has a dong similar in size to you.
I can be actually. I don't have that. I don't have that ego. You know what I'm saying?
That's good. That's a good quality.
Ego lies in other parts of my life. Not.
It's a good quality.
Not in wiener size.
Kind of like topping the charts with a movie, and no one in Hollywood even bears to mention
it. I've never
that's not an ego for you either. Apparently,
never seen anything like it, dude. Never seen anything like it.
But we can talk about that. We can talk about that movie that fucking what's his name did about the farting corpse that he talks to.
Oh my God, yeah. What?
Yeah, Swiss Army Man. We made just about as much as that in the box office. Not only that, but that was not number one on Amazon or iTunes like our movie was. But they're getting praised like heroes.
Daniel Radcliffe. Yeah, you're a hero.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we have two Medal of Honor recipients. Like
actual heroes in the movie.
Yeah, we're nobody.
But no, Daniel Radcliffe, you made a movie about a farting
corpse.
In
all honesty, Hollywood just hates you guys. Like they hate the military. So
they do.
And that's I'm not even. Not even kidding on that.
It's all pretend for them.
It is. Really?
It is. It's a pretend world. They don't even they don't know what the walls outside Hollywood, outside Los Angeles lie. Like they think it's just they learn about everything at fundraisers and galas.
Yeah, hey, let me ask you this. So the 22 push-ups thing is big right now.
Yeesh.
Where are you guys at on that? I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
I don't think it does anything.
Yeah, so I'll say my personal thoughts. I think, you know, I understand they were trying to do good by it, and you know, you actually got a lot of people posting it. I mean, you got actors and shit posting it, so it did its part. But I think the whole side of awareness is kind of done.
Yeah, we don't need the awareness.
I think everyone's fucking aware. Like, my mom knows two things about veterans, and that's one.
Here's what I'd rather do than 22 push-ups. Hey, get them to write a congressman or a senator or the VA a letter. Like,
yeah.
Instead of filming yourself do push-ups, film yourself writing a letter to somebody that is in an elected position that can make a difference and say, hey, I'm upset about the following things. I would like to see you follow up on these.
Yeah,
like,
I'm with you.
We're going to get celebrities to do all that stuff, and they're going to take 5 minutes of their time. Have them take the time to do something that actually could possibly make an impact. And if that's maybe getting the VA to change policy or to fire somebody and put somebody new in there. Like,
some guy just did a new challenge. It's pretty cool. It's 22 days of it's not like, I don't know how you say it. Of removing whatever from your life, whether it's drinking, smoking, dipping. And I thought, like, well, dude, now you're improving a veteran's life for 22 days. They could potentially uncloud his vision, and he can actually do something successful.
Here's another point that I want to make to this. Like, we have seen all these celebrities jumping down and doing the 22 push-ups a day. But 4 months ago, when the director of the VA came out and talked to and compared the VA wait times with Disneyland, I didn't see any celebrities getting on a fucking camera or a news outlet and speaking out saying, hey, this is unacceptable and now I'm pissed. And oh, by the way, I have millions and millions of fans that are also going to be pissed with me and put pressure on these people. So again, it's like, cool, you did push-ups, like fucking do something.
It just doesn't help veteran suicide.
I see it all the time. And I'm like, from actors now, right, in particular, because, you know, I'm friends with a lot of them and shit, and I'm just like, oh, well, boy, I'm gonna ask you guys what the real
here's what happens, man. You know why those actors do it? You know why the actors do it and all these, because, like, because they feel the pressure if they don't do it. They got called out by a veteran. Probably a veteran friend that's probably big up there in the social media world.
Somebody that just said, hey, would you do the 22 challenge?
Yeah, and so then they're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to support. No. Yeah, they're not going to say no. They're going to say, I'm going to support the veterans because, you know what? They support the veterans. And if they don't do it, then they're going to look like fucking assholes. Yeah. So then they go and do the 22 push-ups without
22 challenge.
Without really, you know, thinking about it, you know, and you know, hey, cool, they support veterans. Their push-ups didn't change shit.
Write 22 emails to a fucking elected official. Write, get 22 of your friends to write.
Or how would you volunteer
email
22 days to veteran organizations that need fucking support? I mean, I think volunteering your time is more important than
fucking money. You know, donate $22 to
fuck. Anything other than fucking push-ups that don't do anything. There's no need to do awareness anymore. We all fucking got it. We get it.
Yeah, and the circle of everybody that's doing it are the people that already know.
And dude, and nothing against that company. Dude, what they did was fucking, man, was genius. And it's done well for them. And it's done well for the veteran community of awareness. But realistically, everyone was already aware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We already knew.
Because we're the ones that are circling the problems. But again, it's those same celebrities that will jump to do things like this just because it's almost like they're checking that box for the year. It's not really... Yeah, and it's not really like
shit.
Hey, go visit a guy with no legs and Walter Reed. Like, that'll do more than your fucking video with push-ups.
Yeah, exactly.
Make somebody's life that got fucking flipped upside down by the GWAT a little better, you know?
Yeah.
Fuck. Hey, but by the way, kids, we jumped into that. Sometimes, by the way, to our listeners, like, we're all best friends in real life, so we just start chatting and we forget we have sponsors and shit. So yeah. Let's roll through the sponsors and then we'll get back to the good times here. The first one, it's kind of a new fave after the last episode when we really broke it down. I was like, oh shit, now I want to see this go down. It's Havenlock, HAVENLOCK.com. When you lock a door tonight, what goes through your head? It only takes 3 kicks to get through your front door with a locked deadbolt. Are you really that safe? Is your family that safe? Haven Mech is a new door lock that is 10 times stronger than a deadbolt. Haven Mech will take over 50 kicks without failing. Haven Mech prevents break-ins from happening. Please, please, please go to havenlock.com and get this lock and then post a video. If you can bust down a door before 50 kicks with Haven Lock, we'll give you something. We give you a signed hat or something, or a t-shirt, because I want to see this go down now. These guys raised over $100,000 on Kickstarter. They're a veteran-owned company. They're based out of Nashville, and they've got this fucking power lock for your front door or back door, however you swing, that is supposed to be the business. Supposed to be the business. It's only $99 for the lock. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 10% off. And again, send us a video if you have the Haven Lock on, and we'll post it on Instagram. Are you trying to kick in a door under 50 kicks?
I'll tell you what, Ross.
We'll give you a signed T-shirt if you're able to do it.
This rolls right into our next sponsor of the show. We hope that the gate to the field at the Army-Navy football game does not have Haven Lock on it. because we are offering a bounty of $1,000 a person up to 20 people to streak the game in thongs.
Oh, my God.
With DrinkinBrosPodcast.com t-shirts on. So go to DrinkinBrosPodcast.com, get a t-shirt.
And Art 15 flags.
Yeah, and Art 15 flags, and then streak the fucking halftime. Or not halftime. Streak the game, and then have, you know, somebody film it. Just send us the video for proof, because we're amped to see that go down. hopefully you don't get shot by somebody with TartarusOrdnance.com. TartarusOrdnance. They are the leaders in home defense ammunition. They make you say, I wish a motherfucker would. They also sell firearms there. So it's a one-stop shop for blowing people away. Go to TartarusOrdnance.com, type in the promo code Drinking Bros, You get 10% off of everything, and they've got a subscription now. They're subscription-based, so you can just get bullets shipped to your house every fucking month, which is rad. Kenny Gunter and those boys, we love them. We love them to death. Big fans of the show. I know Matt and you guys were out pew-pewing with them a couple weeks ago. Next up, we got StrikeForceEnergy.com. You know how my voice always goes up on Strikeforce Energy? It's because I'm anticipating the Strikeforce inside my mouth. It is the tastiest little tiny tin pouch full of energy drink you will ever have in your life. Kick the fucking can. You don't need the can anymore. They ship anywhere in the world. You can get it in fucking different parts of South Africa if need be. You can get it in Turks and Caicos if you're there. They ship anywhere in the world. It is the finest energy drink in the land. Kills Red Bull. You can put it in any liquids, waters, beers, liquors, coffees, you name it. It'll keep you going all day and all night. Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com, type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 20% off of everything. That's also another subscription one, man. You can have that shipped to your house every month on a subscription like we do. We love Strikeforce Energy. It's our jam, and they will also all be at Freedom Fest. So get
Freedom
your tickets.
Fest. Freedom Fest.
Get your tickets. You can meet Mr. Sean Mattson and Bruce Lee himself, the owners and operators of Strikeforce Energy, along with the owners and operators of Warfighter Tobacco. Go to warfightertobacco.com. Rocco, those are Rocco's favorite cigars in the entire world.
Yeah, they are, man.
And
556 is the one I smoke the most, man. The 556 is the one I recommend. I love it. It's the one that's every time I get them, I smoke the fuck out of those things quick as shit.
Yeah, man. They're made from Cuban seeds, hand rolled in the Dominican Republic with tiny, tiny little Dominican fingers. Smoke them if you got them. You better not have a hookah. Pick up a cigar. Put down the fucking hookah. Be a man. Don't be a fucking pussy in this life. Don't be a fucking pussy. Go to warfightertobacco.com, type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 10% off of every cigar in the whole goddamn store, which is nice. And if you're smoking, you might as well read a fine novel for men. Read At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed, the first ever romance novel for dudes. It's the funniest book ever written. If you liked Range 15 or Airplane, all that shit, it's exactly like that.
Dude, I heard it recently won an award. Dude.com. It was the greatest book of 2016 to
yes,
dump to.
That is correct.
Correct. So they recommend it as toilet reading.
Yeah, it is.
At Night She Cries.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
I love
it's,
it.
It's the people's choice for reading on the toilets. We had a guy.
The problem is you generally get hard when reading that book, so it makes it makes a dump.
The other thing, I had a guy say his legs went numb because he was laughing so hard he just wanted to keep reading on the toilet. He got up and crashed through his bathroom door. He said he was lying there. He made it through the door. He was lying on the other side, and his wife was like, "What the fuck?" And his pants were still down. Legs were almost purple. He was sitting on the toilet for an hour. I got an email from this dude. the guy's name was Keith. So, Keith, if you're out there listening, I appreciate it. Keep on reading. Since the door's already crashed down, now you can just walk right through it after taking a shit. So, get At Night She Cries While He Rides a Steed on audible.com, amazon.com, even walmart.com now. Welcome to the party, Walmart.
Hey.
You fucking dicks. As long as every
I don't think you could call them dicks possible. After like they just picked up your book. Yeah.
Well,
you late motherfuckers.
Look, it's sold out on the first day out of there, so obviously there was demand for it, and they re-put it back in there. But yeah, they could have been having this magic for a lot longer than they did. Now they're coming to their senses, and they're joining the 21st century. We're not. It's not like we're playing cards with our brother's kids here. You're reading the finest book ever written. Yeah, go ahead, Rocco.
Dude, I'm on Instagram. I mean, I'm on Facebook right now, and fucking George Grimm just got another Drinking Bros tattoo.
No way.
Yeah, a tattoo on his calf. It's actually done by David Kang.
Shut the fuck up.
I swear he's doing tattoos now, and he just.
There's nothing like an amateur tattoo artist, is there?
Yeah, dude. And it actually looks pretty good, dude. So I'm just tripped out right now. You got to drink. I'll send it to
so
you, Ross.
Good. Yes. Wild, hey, post it on the Drinking Bros podcast page. By the way, definitely anybody will. Out there, we got the drinkingbrospodcast.com's got all your t-shirts, mugs, and gifties for yourself. The tees are dope. We also have a Facebook fan page as well as an Instagram that we post a bunch of weird shit on.
If you ordered a French press, some of them broke in the shipping process, so they're being reordered and reshipped to everybody that ordered that pre-ordered the French press.
Yes. So we're sorry from that. But they'll be out to you shortly. JT, I want to kick the things off with you tonight.
Oh, really? Because I've got ideas, Ross.
I know you do. You've got ideas. You've got big plans. You're going places, kid. You're gonna be a star one day. I heard. So my buddy is one of my best friends. He was on the Instagram stories now, which is replacing Snapchat. He accidentally hit the thing, but he was listening to a Third Eye Blind song. Can I graduate? You know that song? Jared?
I don't know that at all.
Third Eye Blind.
Yeah. Can I graduate? That song, it's super like loud and aggressive. So he was on Instagram stories he's in Hawaii. They were visiting the Pearl Harbor thing, and he was taking like a nice, like solemn, you know, thing of like Pearl Harbor and all that shit. And he hit the wrong, he got a brand new iPhone 7, hit the wrong button, started blaring, Can I graduate? Hit the stories thing. Not only is everybody on the ship on Pearl Harbor looking at him like, you disrespectful motherfucker, but he hit the story thing, so it launched, and it was on his thing all day, and people were making fun of him for it.
That's hilarious.
What's the most inappropriate?
You can comment on those.
You can't.
You can DM.
Yeah, you can DM them.
So when you hit the message, it goes straight to their DM, which is a pain in the fucking ass.
Oh, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, so I've done a few of those and gotten like 20 DMs. You're like, fuck these things, dude.
I know. So it got me to thinking, what's the most inappropriate song? You've played at something? Because you're super into music, Jared. Like, I know you've done something fucked up somewhere.
Oh, yeah. We went into a pilot bar actually at Hill Air Force Base in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Right.
There were four of us, JTACs, you know, went into this fucking, it was full of just F-16 pilots. So, you know, they're all telling each other stories about doing air-to-air with their hands. And like, I was shooting missiles at this guy like this, and then I fucked him up. And I walked straight over to the jukebox with a straight face and put on Justin Timberlake, Cry Me a River. And everybody just stopped because they were like, they were playing like hardcore, you know, drunken country music and everything. And I just paid the extra, you know, couple bucks to skip everything else and go straight to Cry Me a River. And then I immediately followed it up with Spice Up Your Life.
Oh boy. That's a baller one. I like that. What about you, Rocco? Yeah.
Dude, I wouldn't even know because I'm not into the music thing is like that. So I don't think I've ever done anything weird like
not
that.
So let me ask, but like during sex, did you have like a go-to CD that like you hit the wrong thing or, you know?
No, man. Like I'll tell you what, high school, I just had the go-to fucking mixtape that everyone used, but nothing was inappropriate. It's all fucking like Keith Sweat and shit. So I don't have a story that would be fitting into this.
My go-to sex song was the remake, the techno remake of the Bryan Adams song.
No, you're kidding.
Which one you're is that? Kidding. Which
one? I'm thinking about our younger years.
Oh, there's way better Bryan Adams songs than that, dude.
It was only you and me.
Damn.
Yeah, there was a techno remake of that in 2002. That was my go-to.
That's funny.
I fumbled one night. I hit the wrong thing. You know, you remember those CD changers that you had before fucking shit was digital?
Yes, yeah. Dude.
A Blues Traveler. I accidentally hit a fucking you know that blaring harmonica? A Once Upon a Midnight Dream. And I was like, you know, trying to set the mood, like everything was awesome. And all of a sudden you hear fat ass John Popper just blaring through
my
fucking.
That's so funny.
Oh, you know what would be a really good joke against Ross, Rocco? We're going to do this. I'm going to get Jesse in on it. I'm going to make a playlist of just Papa John's commercials when it's him talking.
I'm gonna have her
hit play on that about midway through their next excursion.
It's football season. Papa John is back. You know I hate the Papa.
I want to ruin Ross having sex.
You know what's funny?
Him having to hear Papa John's voice.
When people fucking put sex music on, I don't ever take the time to put fucking music on to have fucking sex anymore, dude. Like that's
never at any point in your life did you put on like music. Like
dude, when I was younger, you put on music because it's fucking awkward because no one talks, right?
Yeah.
Now if you fuck, you're like, yeah, you like it like that, bitch.
That's true. I don't know any adult that puts on music.
You fucking die.
I want to hear that rib being broken.
So I don't think I think about putting. Yeah, I want to break your ribs. Yeah. It's fine. I'll love you.
I want to hear you wheeze.
But the thing is, like, I think when you're younger, you put music on because it's just that kind of.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right.
It calms the awkwardness.
Yeah.
I think now it's just like, let's fucking bang. And
it would be weird as an adult to be like, hang on a minute. Let me go turn on the radio.
Let me dim the lights and put some music on.
Like it's even weird as an adult trying to fuck in a car.
Yeah, dude. You know, I love that. I still love it, though. I still love it. For some reason, that is something I would do for the rest of my life. I don't know what it is about it, but it's like driving long distance. You're like, let's pull over quick and knock one out. I don't know why. I'm into that shit, right? Like,
I mean, that's okay.
Yeah, that's a
you're on
one.
Like a dinner
one, yeah.
date, and
yeah.
you just come back into
no,
the car.
No, if I have a fucking
in
house,
the parking
I'm going
like,
to bang it out in the house. Yeah, I'm not going to do it in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Finger you under that dress.
Yeah.
Like, ew.
I'll do weird, touching and stuff.
The Bryan Adams, that was your go-to.
What is that song called? Baby, you're all
Bryan Adams has a lot of
Baby, you're all
good
that
ones.
I need.
Yeah.
He also has, what's the other one? It goes, it's the one from Robin Hood.
Oh, that's right. He did the theme, the Kevin Costner one.
Kevin Costner Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's called Heaven. Let me find the techno version.
No, dude. Give me the one from Robin. I want to hear the one from fucking.
I finally believe we're in heaven. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the one
by DJ Sammy? DJ Sammy.
I tell you what. Hey, Jared, send it to me in Dropbox, and we'll attach it to the end of the episode.
Oh yeah, we're in heaven. That way, our listeners, the next time you have sex, put on this song, and then write me the story into the inbox on how it went.
Yeah, send that in Dropbox. And
except if you were fucking a dude, like more detail then.
Yeah. You're fucking a dude, I want to know what it smells like.
If you're a chick fucking a dude to this song, write it in detail. I want to see how you write.
I want to know why he does that.
I want to hear it from a female. I want to hear a sex story from a female perspective.
Banging out a dude?
Yeah.
How does it feel to a chick to bang a dude?
Bryan Adams.
Yeah.
What if the girl put on Bryan Adams?
My challenge. That's my challenge for this podcast.
I'll be your crying shoulder.
I want one woman to fuck a guy to DJ Sammy's We're in Heaven and then write me the story to me.
That would be great. I would like that too. Send me that song. We'll
I'll frame
to
that. Like I would frame that and put it in my house.
Ross, do you think those girls get off on that?
What? On Bryan Adams?
No, banging dudes.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
You think girls get off on banging dudes?
Well, do you know the chicks that bang their dudes with dildos and shit?
Oh, no. I'm not talking about that.
I'm just talking about regular sex.
Where did I go?
Regular sex.
I'm sorry. I do not want
you to bang a dude.
Yeah.
I want you to bang a dude.
We don't need any videos of dudes getting banged by their girls. Like, we don't need that.
I completely thought you were a girl banging dudes.
No,
I just want to hear. I want to hear the perspective from the female of this sex.
God, I feel like a weird dude right now that I thought straight to that.
I mean,
like, why?
There's some good stories.
I'm not even into that, but for some reason, that's the first thing I thought of, so now I'm kind of confused.
Hey, look, that your mind went there first says a lot about yourself. It brings us back to our first episode.
Listen,
Pegging Explains, where we explain pegging. That's pegging right there.
I want you to piss on our brand new carpet and then leave it there, and I'll come home and we'll clean it up together. That is the funniest thing.
I get dark, bro. I go dark. I go to dark places sometimes. Hey, you want to test someone's love? You want to test someone?
Please share that story with the audience, please. Yeah.
Oh, that's right, Ross. You were part of that conversation.
No, and neither was our audience. So share that with the world right now.
Just block off.
You just got. You got it. If you want to test someone's love, you got to do weird shit, man. And fucking, I do. Being part of psychological operations in my military career, I tested the waters with things. Yeah. You know?
So what? What you made her piss on a brand new carpet and then. Up?
Yeah,
or did you want to find it? Were you trying to find
it?
You were like, oh, I'm going to find this
when you guys are cleaning it up together?
It brings back the mood, right?
It ties it all in.
It ties the whole fantasy back together. Leave it so it stains. And when I come home, we're going to clean that together. I don't know why.
Is it a bonding experience? Is it a bonding experience? Like, that's what I want to know.
I don't know.
Are you holding her hand?
It's a control thing.
Or do you
thing.
Make her sit there
it's,
while you clean
it's a control,
it and you
yeah.
scold her?
It's a control thing. Yeah, it's like, don't you touch that damn stain.
Not until I get there.
I know you see it. It's an eyesore and it's fucking changing colors. Don't touch that motherfucker till I get there. And then we'll clean it together. Now that's loyalty.
Oh my God.
Holy shit.
Oh my God.
I'm going to say this is the greatest story ever told on Drinking Bros podcast history right now.
Dude,
I'm going to go out
died.
On a limb.
When he first heard that, he died. And
I
like,
died.
So what,
I was,
what happened?
I was
so,
in
so
the
you,
basement.
So did she wait for you to come home to clean it up?
Yeah. Yeah. So
And what happened afterward? Like,
dude, and then you make sweet love.
Like,
on the stain?
On the stain. It's clean now.
No way.
Yes.
So her back was down on the pee stain, like on the carpet?
Every position eventually, but yeah.
Roz, like the setup though, and for the audience, like we're all just group texting one morning at about 9 a.m. and I'm in the basement in my little like apartment hole. And this is in Salt Lake. Matt's on the second level. Richard Ryan's up there. Everybody's kind of in on this conversation. And then Rocco tells that. You just hear me squealing like a fucking idiot.
Well, the first one was, have her eat Cocoa Pebbles out of a dog bowl.
Have her eat
and
cereal.
And record that. Yeah,
have her take a video of herself eating cereal out of a dog bowl.
Yeah, but like no hands, like licking it like
hands
a dog.
Behind the
yeah, back. Yeah.
Holy
like,
shit.
Like, if she can commit to that, that's love, baby.
This is, hands down, is the best story I've ever heard on this show. We're 80 something episodes in,
and then you want to escalate, like their faith, like how faithful can you be? It's like piss on the brand new carpet and leave that stain until I get there, and we'll clean it together.
Oh my God, this is the greatest! This is the greatest thing
oh
I've ever heard,
God, dude.
This is the greatest!
Oh my God. And the beauty is we now have 500,000 listeners who just got to hear this story. Oh my God, it's the greatest thing of all time.
It's funny. It's control and commitment, man. Like how far is your significant other willing to go for you, man? It's like as weird as I can be, if you have someone that's willing to do it, it's just like, man, that's dope.
Jeez. Yeah. I think the most I've ever asked for is pigtails and a skirt.
Well, I'm way beyond that. I was doing pigtails and skirts in high school, brother.
Man, I mean, that's creative. Like, I holy shit. That's the.
You made me want to push the lines.
I had no clue we were going to talk about this today. I can't even believe I'm actually talking about it. So.
I didn't either. Fuck. I've never even heard this goddamn story.
I'm amped about it. I just wanted to say
that
because
it
made
super
me laugh.
Funny, dude. Oh, God.
Holy shit. That's the greatest story ever told on the podcast, hands down. People are going to write in about this for months now.
How do we title this? Like this episode has to be titled, I want you to pee on the carpet.
Yeah, it really does. Like, hey, I want you to pee on the carpet. What?
Oh my God.
What?
Yeah. No, pee on the brand, but the carpet's
sweetheart,
brand new.
Sweetheart, can you pee on the carpet? Can that be the title? Sweetheart, please pee on the carpet.
Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah. Oh, dude! Imagine if it was a deployment piss. Then I mean, you've got a whole year of a stain to sit there.
You just gotta watch it.
Oh, you gotta watch it for a year. You've gotta like live your life around that year long piss.
But you have that beautiful slow mo video of her just pissing on the carpet.
Yeah, did you ask for video, like for proof, or did you just come home and
you
were like, no,
proof.
You smelled the carpet,
proof.
Like you knew.
No, you always need proof.
Yeah, do you scold her?
Yeah.
I would say scold her.
Like, do you just...
Did you talk down to her? Like, hey, why did you do that?
No, yeah. It's just like, good girl. Good.
No way. No fucking way.
I'm kind of turned on right now. Yeah. I kind of want to pee on the carpet too.
Holy shit. Dude, this is going to start a revolution, man. I think people are going to try this and be like, all right.
Oh, man.
Look, they did it on the podcast. How far are you willing to go for my love?
When I was in PSYOP school, man, we were talking about like what can you get one of your girls to do? You know what I mean? To just and so it's like that's psychological operations, right? And
you can't talk about some of these. Although I want you to so bad,
right? There's some
you
weird
know the
shit.
One I want.
Yeah, there's some weird shit out there, and
I love it so much.
Oh God! So.
Holy shit, this is amazing.
Hands down, Ross, and we'll talk about this off the line. Rocco has gotten somebody to do something so unspeakable. It's amazing.
Some weird stuff, man.
So, I mean, he wins this game.
You got, and nobody, we, can't, we can't share this?
No, we can't because this is like weird. No. If you think pissing on carpet is weird, brother. Yeah.
This goes all the way up.
All the way up. Dude, I can only imagine. I can only fucking imagine.
Oh, God.
After we hit stop, we'll tell you, and then you'll die.
It's just funny, man. Like, I mean, it's not funny. It's part of a relationship, and if you have this trust, you're willing to go, you know.
Look, but everybody's got their own fucking weird shit. Like, you know,
right.
we've talked about this before. Like,
right. Right. And so it's like, you know, you go the distance for your significant other or whatever turns you on. Yeah. And fucking, yeah.
She's going for
speed.
She's going for pee.
And so in PSYOP.
All alone.
In PSYOP school, I'm with a group of other knuckleheads, dude, who are all trying to get their significant other to top the others. And
Big
Poppy won. And Big Poppy wins.
Oh, my God. You crushed him.
No, you destroyed the field on that one. You pre-Fontaine
the whole
field.
That was like Usain Bolt against a guy in a wheelchair.
Yeah. Holy shit.
No offense to anybody in a wheelchair.
So they all think very simple.
I know.
I go dark.
You went full.
Yeah.
Oh, Monty.
Yeah. You went full Charlie Sheen on it. Like,
yeah,
you went full
exactly.
Sheen.
Oh, no. I think you surpassed Charlie Sheen with that
one.
Yeah,
I probably did.
Easily. Charlie Sheen wouldn't think of this.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Next question.
New subject.
I imagine the question
so
I'm going to receive from this.
Like, I don't even know where to go
after
that. For a
200th episode, you have to... Number 200, you have to say it.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, Rocco, will you commit to that?
300?
I can't commit to that. No, I can't commit to that. 200's...
That's another year.
That's another year.
Let's talk later, Ross, and then we'll see what you think, and then we'll
sure.
I don't know.
Because, by the way, to the listeners at home, there has been some stories and, fuck, even some episodes. I've kiboshed because I just thought
there
it was too incriminating.
Episode.
Yeah, there was an
entire episode we had, like, you did never hear.
I think it was too bad. I'm not going to say which one of us, but I made the executive decision to. We're all best friends, so it's like we don't want to have anything that's going to be hurting feelings or ruining lives.
That one got real dark.
And it's gone. It's deleted. It'll never be.
Oh, wow. Really? Would have.
No, I would never save shit like that.
I don't do that either. I nuked it. So it's gone forever. But hey, speaking of gone forever, Rocco, we'll come back to you. Vin Scully was retired today. How do you feel about that?
Dude, I know, man. It's a tough one because that's the voice of the Dodgers. That's the voice of the Dodgers for so many years. And you know what? Here's the coolest thing, dude. One of my buddies just sent me one of the bobblehead dolls.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, dude. What a dope ass dude, man.
Imagine Vin Scully calling that girl and selling her to piss on the carpet.
Well, I'll tell you what. This girl graduated in 1975, and with her mother was it.
Vince
Scully always had the best stories,
from
didn't he?
Guadalajara, and she.
Imagine the times. Well, his wife was actually sucking the blood out of a bite from a rattlesnake. And dude, I'm like, God, this guy's stories are amazing.
Yeah, so
Vince Scully's a bad dude, man.
Jared, to fill you on who Vince Scully is, he's the voice of the Dodgers. Which is a cool thing. He did it for 67 straight years.
Yeah,
he started when he was 21 years old. He's 88. He's finally retiring. He's amazingly full of life. But here's the most impressive thing about Vin Scully. For anybody who's not a Dodgers fan, didn't listen to him on a regular basis, is he did it by himself. So our podcast typically runs about an hour, somewhere between 50 minutes and an hour. He is calling a Dodgers game by himself for 3.5 hours every single fucking game.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Dude, but this guy, but you don't know.
With no one to bounce anything off of, so it's just him.
Yeah, so it's just him talking. So he had so much information of almost every player. It was insane. Like, so much, like, I don't know how he knew so much intimate information about players that were just from the opposite team.
Yeah.
Like, guys would come up to bat, like, oh, this guy's coming to bat. When he was 4 years old, his father, and you're like, who the fuck knows this shit?
I know. I mean, because the stories about individual people he would tell, Rocco's is literally, like you said, it would get so he'd be so in depth with it. It'd be like, when he was 4 years old, his parents duct taped him to a Hawaiian punch raft in Cuba, waited for the winds to hit 80 miles an hour and set him to sail to America. And you're like, what the fuck? So you get caught up in these stories. You're watching a baseball game, but you're listening to stories about these people's lives that you're like, holy shit. So I write a lot at nights, in particular. When I was in LA. So, you know, every night at 7 o'clock, 7:30, whenever the Dodgers game was on, I would flip it on, just have it on in the background and just listen to him. It was the most calming, soothing voice, for years and years of my life. And, I used to write to it in the background and, we'll miss you, Vince Scully. He was, he was one of the best. And one of the people that you should probably accredit podcast to. Is if one guy could sit there and make you interested for 3.5 hours in something by talking, it's kind of how what podcasts are, and it's amazing that people listen to us for an hour.
I completely agree, man. So it was
let
it was
alone
one of the
three
great,
and a half.
It was an amazing gift to be able to receive a Vince Scully bobblehead doll, which is limited editions and stuff.
Yeah,
so
that's fucking
cool,
awesome, dude. That's fucking awesome. Jared, do you think you could talk about anything for 3.5 hours?
Yeah.
By yourself, what would
great
it be?
Answer.
What would it be? Yeah, what would it be talking by yourself for 3.5 hours, just once?
Video editing.
I could see that. I could see that.
Shit. I could teach a fucking 9-hour class about CAS, aircraft capabilities. I can start right now.
Yeah,
F-18 Hornet, and I can go for 9 hours.
I could see that. I could.
Well,
see
I mean,
that.
I did it. I had to teach.
Did
so,
you
like,
really?
If you just. I have 3,800 hours of teaching for the Air Force.
Holy shit. I did not know that.
I taught from 2008 to 2012. I got
that's a fun fact about Jared that nobody knows.
Instructor of military science.
Really?
Yeah.
Any part of you ever thought about being an working for a college or anything?
No. I would hold like symposiums. Like, because I think like the daily stuff, I would do workshops and at max 3 hours. I know how the human brain works. Like nobody really gets anything when you're elongating certain courses. So I just would like to do highlights and good advice type stuff.
Gotcha. What about you, Rocco? Is there anything that you think you could solidly talk about for 3.5 hours?
Yeah, man. I think
by yourself.
Oof. 3 hours. I think fighting is one. I think I can because I do a lot of instructing with fighting. So when it comes to just like fight philosophy and mentality of fighters when they're going into ring, like today this morning we're doing sparring with the kids, and my youngest one was getting real frustrated and he started tearing up, and I was like, okay, we're done, and I'm like starting to talk to him like it's okay to feel nervous, it's okay to be scared, like things like that. Like fighting is what I know very well from my family, and then the other thing would be baseball. You know what I mean?
Dude, and anything off the top of your head?
You want me to teach tactics in the military? We can go for fucking hours in tactics in the military because that's what I know very well as a drill instructor, as an Army Ranger. I can go for days on that shit. So those are things
that's why I'm a strong public speaker is because, we were trained. I could have had my master instructor badge from the Air Force, but I had poor leadership at the time that did not submit me for the proper paperwork, which kind of sucks. And I'm still sour about because I wanted that. But like we went through a lot of courses like tests and objectives and theory and everything like that, where you were really learning like how to write a true teaching course. And with that, it's like if somebody says, okay, hey, do you mind speaking for a little bit? Okay, how much time do I have? Well, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. It's like, okay, I know I can get through 3 bullet points and I'm doing an intro and an outro. All right, I got it. Here's what I'm going to do. So it's like I did it so much, it's just become kind of second nature for me.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, I think if I was ever to do something for 3.5 hours straight, it would be filmmaking. I think I could do that.
Yeah, that's what I would assume. I would assume that, because, you know, we're all comfortable in our own space.
And thinking about that right now, Ross, like, you, at the most part, you can start at screenplay, picking a screenplay, writing a screenplay, choosing, you know, budgeting a screenplay. You move into pre-production. You then move into production, post-production, and then marketing. Now you're talking like 4 days worth of shit that you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I could really gas it on shit like that. But the thing that I find fascinating about Vin Scully is, shit, the Dodgers' lives, you already know about their lives from, you know, game one. Dude, where do you go? You've covered that. You know what I'm saying? It's the same people that come back and play year after year. And then, you know, you always have a visiting team. But usually the visiting team is playing for 3 or 4 games at a time. How do you find enough stories and airtime to stretch that out?
Well, dude, that's what I was saying. So he told a story the other day about, and it was on social media, dude. It went crazy. Just his stories are insane. And he was talking about a family that one of the pitchers that came in to pitch, like, relief, dude. And he said, you know, they went out for a hike and someone got bit by a snake, or they killed a snake and this and that. And then they made it into shoes or a belt buckle. Like, I mean, he just carried on. And it's like, how the fuck does this dude know about some opposing team that shows up and only plays fucking, you know, 8, 9 series out of the year, and knows so much in depth about him, his wife, his kids, and a story that is probably very personal to that player on its own? And so it's insane how he does that. And I don't even know how he fucking does it, dude.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's pretty crazy. They had like a ceremony the other day at Dodger Stadium, and Kevin Costner came up and spoke. You should, if you have the chance, look up, go to YouTube and just look up Kevin Costner's speech, to Vin Scully. There wasn't a dry eye in the house. Like, I was crying. I was watching on TV. Jesus. I was like, oh my dude, Kevin Costner fucking brings the thunder. He loves baseball. More than life. Loves Vin Scully more than life. But, I also remember him from, Whitney Houston's funeral. He gave a speech that brought down the house, and I was like, God, on CNN, I was like, dude, Costner's kind of fucking pimpy, dude.
He is a dope dude, man, and he loves baseball, and that's funny. He's done a lot of baseball movies.
He has, and I get it. Shit, if I could, I did a baseball movie because I love baseball, so I wrote one about the greatest wiffle ball player of all time.
There's some stuff I want to talk about from baseball, so let's talk about it later.
Yeah,
my friend recently interviewed Kurt Russell, and it was really good. I was kind of jealous. I want to interview Kurt Russell.
Dude, Kurt Russell, man, is fucking awesome. Bone Tomahawk. He's funny. I didn't know
he used to be in the Air Force.
Shut the fuck up. I didn't know that at all.
Yeah, he was in. He said he was a troublemaker too. They didn't like him. That's awesome.
Wow, he's a rad dude, man. He's a rad dude.
I want to talk to him now.
In every Hollywood circle, everybody will tell you the coolest couple on the planet is him and Goldie Hawn. They're super family oriented. They hang out and fucking party every weekend. They have barbecues.
That's super funny
that
because
shit.
if I get a chance to talk to him, I'm gonna tell him my favorite movie is Overboard.
Really?
Of his? Well, yeah, it was filmed in my parents' hometown and my grandpa's in it.
Oh no, shit! Whoa. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's the guy that's eating checkers at the insane asylum.
I gotta go. Obviously, Tombstone. I gotta go Tombstone first.
Yeah. Tombstone, Bone Tomahawk. Like,
Bone Tomahawk. I'd go Backdraft 3. I'd go. I would go Hateful Eight 4, and then Miracle 5. That's my top 5 Kurt Russells.
Praise him on Bone Tomahawk. The fact that they didn't really score that film. The first time you ever heard any music. Was at the 48-minute.
Yeah, great movie. We're all big fans of Bone Tomahawk.
I love it.
Yeah, same here, man.
Stressful. It's so stressful, the whole thing.
That killing, too, is still the best killing in a movie.
Yeah, it is.
Balls to neck, dude. It just goes straight
balls
down.
Balls to neck. Have you seen it yet?
I have not, dude.
Oh, my God.
You got to check it out. Slow burn. It's a nice slow burn. It's a great movie.
Me and Charlotte watched Ghostbusters last night.
The female version.
Yeah.
What was your thoughts, man? I refuse to see it, but I'm curious.
I think you could have had a great movie with the girls in the cameo. I blame the writing on that movie, hands down.
Okay.
The ghosts were really cool. Seeing, you know, new age special effects on ghosts, that was cool. But the writing was awful.
Gotcha.
The writing was awful. Like, that was the writing. It wasn't Kristen Wiig. It wasn't the girls. You could have had a great movie. Like, especially doing something different with a reboot where you use the women instead of just a bunch of new dudes.
Right.
I think with Ghostbusters, you couldn't reboot it like that. You couldn't do four new dudes fighting ghosts in the city. I think you had to go something abstract, like making it women and stuff like that. But whoever they got to write that, like, just fucking off yourself already.
I don't see a need for remakes at all. Like, there's a million original scripts in Hollywood. I just, but I am glad that you did, somebody saw it and can comment on it, because, we were making fun of it on the show.
I watched three big ones yesterday. I watched Ghostbusters. I watched Warcraft, maybe you got to be a video game person. I was really confused through the whole movie.
Okay, yeah, I'm not a video game guy. What else did you see?
It was Warcraft. Let me look real quick. I forget.
I'll tell you what I watched last night. We watched that Amanda Knox documentary on
X-Men, new X-Men.
Oh, with Olivia Munn.
Yeah.
Yeah. How was that? Shitty?
No.
I love all those.
But I actually have to get on and do research at the order, because I'm confused with the order, because we were back in the 80s on this one.
Yeah.
And like I'm not super Marvel nerd, so I don't know. I think honestly this one, so X-Men Apocalypse, I think is a sequel to Days of Future Past, the one where they first formed the X-Men, I guess. I don't know. I'm sure every time I get confused, like especially with Game of Thrones, I just go on YouTube and somebody's nice enough to put a video up that's like, all right, for those of you that don't know,
an instructional video
if you look at the Marvel and DC movies, like somebody made this timeline as to where, because like the Avengers alone, they're all out of order. So you have to watch, you have to watch like a Captain America. The first Captain America is like the first one you start with. Then you move into Iron Man, then Avengers 1, and then Iron Man 3, and then like they have this crazy order that if you watch it in that order, it's now in a seamless timeline.
Okay. Well, check it out. I watched the Amanda Knox documentary last night on Netflix. I don't know if you remember that story. I was that girl who went over to Italy.
Banging that
dude, and her roommate got murdered. She got accused, her and the boyfriend, of banging the roommates.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And it went on for like years. She got convicted. She was like locked up for 3 years. They went to a retrial, and then she got out, and then immediately flew home. Then the Italian courts appealed it, and then 5 years later or whatever, they found her not guilty again. But it was just shoddy police work and all kinds of shit. And the weirdest thing about it was, I'd heard this story for years at this point. I didn't really know if she was guilty or innocent. After I watched it, I felt she was completely innocent. But because of one thing, when they were checking the house, there was a dead body in one room. Somebody had taken a shit in the toilets and then left that shit in the toilet.
Isn't that DNA?
Yes, it's DNA. So they know who took the shit in the house. And it was like, it wasn't Amanda Knox or her boyfriend. It was like, come on. So, and they just left the shit in the toilet. So they've got a picture of it. So you see video of the shit in the toilet and you're like, man, whoever took the shit in the toilet obviously murdered this girl. And this guy's DNA was all over the house, including his shit in the toilet.
Jeez.
So it was a pretty simple case in my eyes after watching this documentary, but it just kind of shows you like what the media did to it. There was another dipshit reporter who was on, like, and they were like, look, we were all trying to make a story and make a living off of this and all this shit. And you're like, man, meanwhile, these, families keep going through hell. And it's like, when you started to really look at all the evidence, you're like, the fuck was this even going down in the first place? Same with the JBR thing. Jared, I ended up watching the JonBenet Ramsey thing.
Oh yeah, how'd that go? Do they know who did it now? Like, yeah, is it
so? Yes. Yeah, so CBS, your CBS special said 100%. I mean, they were pretty solid across the board of their dream team. They said the brother did it. They said the mom wrote the notes to cover up for the brother. They didn't want to lose two children. So they're saying that he killed his own sister, And then the mom wrote the note, and then they cover it up all these years. And that's the thing. Now, on the other one, because there was another one out there where they interviewed the brother on Dr. Phil. He came on and did an interview, the actual brother of JonBenet Ramsey. First time in 20 years. He did an interview for 4 days with Dr. Phil. He said that he did not kill her, had nothing to do with it. And their prosecution, the one key fact in this case that's throwing everybody off was there was DNA on her underwear and part of the back of her shirt that wasn't semen or blood or anything else. It was either like saliva or something like that. And they don't know where that came from. So after I watched both of them because, you know, Jared was so fucking into JBR and I didn't know the I didn't know the story that well about JonBenet Ramsey. So after I watched it, I was like, fuck, you just based on that one fact alone, you can kind of go either way on this case. But I remember what you said, Jared, and I side with you. I think 100% now the brother did it. And, you know, maybe the DNA was from something else or previously or whatever, but, I think the brother did it. The parents covered up for it, and she wrote the note.
What's going on in the To Catch a Murderer or To Make a Murderer world? I know they're doing a second doc now.
Yeah. So the second season's about to come out. Brendan Dehassie is getting out of prison, and they filed an appeal to stop him from getting out of jail right now. So whether or not he gets out, they're waiting. Cameras are there. He's supposed to get out in November next month. So if he gets out, they were, you know, I told you the producers missed the court hearing, so they weren't there to catch it live, although they, you know, they should have been because it just took everybody from like everybody for a surprise. But they'll be there when he gets out in November, or, you know, if the appeal goes through and he doesn't. But either way, that kid should get out. But I kind of think that guy, Stephen Avery, did it now. I think he had something to do with it.
God damn.
I don't think the Brendan Dehassie kid did, so I think him getting out is fine. But I kind of think the Stephen Avery guy, like, after really going through the facts, I forget what number of show it is, but Jared pointed it out. He was like, you know, read this article. And I read this article. I was like, oh, God, there's a lot of awful shit about this guy in there. So I kind of lean that way. Nice. But in that the shit story is the one that got me. Do you have an awful poop story? Either one of you?
Oh, there's a lot of shit stories. I mean, that's kind of where I dabble. Where I dabble.
That's kind of where I dabble. That's my minor. I got a graduate degree in pissing on the carpet. Yeah. I got a minor in shit stories.
Yeah, a lot of shit stories I have.
I got fire ants all over my body.
Did
once.
You? Yeah, that has nothing to do with shit, though.
Well, I was at a porta potty on Sicily Drop Zone at Fort Bragg, like, and I didn't notice until I just, like, they were everywhere.
What kind of give me a kind of a boundary of what kind of shit story you're talking
about. I'll give you my story, and then you can go from there, either if that's, you know, high or low on your shit story scale. A buddy of mine, we were swimming all day at a quarry. We went to like a rock quarry. We went to Subway afterwards, so we were still wearing our bathing suits, you know, kind of board shorts or whatever. We're ordering in. There's four of us. He is the third back in line. The two of us have already ordered ahead of him. We're the only four in the store at this point. He shits himself inside the Subway. The poop goes through his pants, bounces off the back of his calf, and then lands on the floor of the Subway. Well, now the sandwich artist, and yes, I call him a sandwich artist. You know, I go by their full job description.
That's what they're called. Yeah. That's the proper way of saying it.
So they're lowered behind, so they can't see it. So all of us are looking at each other and we're like, oh, fuck, we have to order like nothing happens. We all completed our orders. And, you know, a couple of us got toasted sandwiches, so that takes a little longer. And there's only one guy making them. So we all went through the line like nothing happened. We checked out. We got the sandwiches to go, obviously. And then we bounced. But at some point, this sandwich artist obviously came from around the corner and had to notice a human fucking turd in the middle of the floor on Subway. And that was one of the most disgusting ones that I've, because he shit in a restaurant on the floor. So somebody
that's so awesome.
Because customers are either a customer came in and saw it afterward, or the sandwich artist himself noticed it later. But at some point, it's gonna be a thing where it's like, oh my god, how did a human shit on the floor in the middle of a Subway?
That's so awesome.
Yeah. So I would say that's probably my number one or two, like 1A, 1B. The other one was a buddy of mine from high school worked in an Arby's and shit in a deep fryer.
How does that?
So that's shit in a deep fryer. Here's what happened. It got super crispy. So you know, he pulled it out of the deep fryer and it was like a big comical thing. And it was like, all right, well, what's it like in the middle? He cut it open, this crispy fucking turd, and the smell it was so pungent and disgusting. It ripped through the restaurant. They had to shut it down for 3 days. The board of health was called. Not only did he get fired, but they had to call a cleaning crew, clean out the entire restaurant. They had to get a new fucking deep fryer. And it was like 15 grand or something for this fucking deep fryer. And they were trying to put his parents on the hook for it. So his parents knew about it, that he's shit in this deep fryer. It became a huge story. And the kid had his own fucked up shit later on in life. Yeah, man, he's shit in a deep fryer at Arby's and then cut the turd open, the crispy turd open. Worst smell, maybe in the history of smells. So those are one,
awesome.
1A and 1B. What do you got on your shit level? Where are you at?
I have one funny one that my son, man, this knucklehead, he sharted. He was 5 at the time, you know, and he shit himself in his closet. And he said it wouldn't stop, so he just drops his pants and shits in a bucket in his room. So there's shit on the floor. There's shit in the bucket. Then he just took his clothes off and dumped it in the bucket and went and took a shower and went to school. And I remember thinking, man, why is this kid getting out of the shower so damn late during right before we get on the bus? And as I go into the room, I'm like, holy fuck, what is going on in this room? I open the closet. There's shit everywhere. This kid, yeah, he didn't want to tell me. He just shit all over the fucking floor. And mind, this is a 5-year-old, so he's stepping all over his shit. So there's shit deep in the carpets. And then there's shit all in the bucket. He just continued to shit until he finally got all the shit out of himself. And then he takes his clothes off and just drops it in the bucket and leaves and closes the door.
How long was the shit in the closet for?
Dude, for about 3 hours until I finally went into his room. So it was just stinky.
Oh man, I can imagine. I on a bet, there was a guy in my fraternity that lived in the room next to me called Dirty Randy. Never cleaned up his fucking room. He was the most disgusting person that I've ever met. And we all have those friends, you know, where you're just like, oh god. So we had a bet in the fraternity where we bet that we could shit in a cup, put it in his room, and he wouldn't we had an over under of how many days it would go. 187 days. He did not know. He continuously was like lighting candles, incense. And we just put it on like a shelf behind his stereo. And it was just a cup full of shit that lived there for 187 days. So it got to the end of the
school. Who won this fucking bet?
Here's the thing. It got to the end of the school year and we were like, hey man, you know, because you move out on the last day and you know, for the summer or whatever. And so we were like, hey, Randy, man, did you ever notice anything like strange or stinky about your room this entire year? And he was like, no, man, you know? And I was like, dude, but you're always lighting like incense and like Bed Bath and Beyond candles, like nothing got to you or whatever. And he was like, I don't really, do my laundry or anything. I was like, no, Randy, you know, someone shit in your room. What? What? And I was like, yes, dude, we got together, a dude named Quattro shit in a cup and put it in his room, and it's behind your stereo speaker. We pulled out we put it behind the speaker, pulled it out, and showed him this dried up shit cup that was in his room, and he was fucking floored. 187 days, didn't know there was a cup full of shit in his room. And I mean, girls slept there, like, you know, he was banging girls in there and shit, like. And there That's was just terrible, a dude. Cup full of shit in there for 187 straight days. So to Jared, to answer your question, no one won that bet because nobody thought it would go the entire school year. Like, I mean, it was fucking crazy. Dirty Randy. Dirty Randy is no longer with us, but that shit story will live on in eternity. In eternity. Man, another weird turn tonight, but we'll go to the drinking bro of the week. We'll go to the drinking bro of the week and try to rebound here. This one, man, this is a sad one. This one comes from
compared to the last one, Ross.
Yeah, it is. I know. This one's even worse. And look, by the way, we appreciate you sending these stories in, because look, there's people in the world that are going through the same things you're going through, and it's great that we get to talk about it on the show, and it's great that you submit your stories to us, and you want their names and stories out there. This is from a guy named Hayes J. He says, "I hate to bother you here, but my daughter Madison, I would like to nominate for Drinking Broette of the Week. She was a little fighter who wouldn't give up. She had a massive vascular event which damaged her brain beyond repair. I made the decision to only provide her care that would make her comfortable. She fought like a warrior for 11 days before her poor little body gave out, and she passed away yesterday. Even as little as she was, she never gave up, and she was a fighter, man. She was an absolute fighter. He says, I know she would have grown up to be a badass and a little broette. So I appreciate you got the show, and I appreciate you guys what you do, and for nominating my daughter. Hey, man. Hey, Jay. We appreciate you writing in, and we appreciate you sharing your story with us. And no doubt, man, we're sure she would have been a little broette. So cheers. And
cheers.
On that note, you're welcome to submit any story you want. It can be for someone that passed away, someone that's alive, somebody that did something heroic, something funny. You can submit whatever you want. We appreciate you hearing.
Maybe somebody has another Dirty Randy friend.
I know. So we appreciate you hearing. We appreciate you you telling us your stories and sharing them with us. And we're glad a few times a week we get to share them with the world. On that note, for the man behind the chin, Mr. Rocco Vincent Vargas, Jared Toddlers and Tiaras Taylor. It is. Everybody online is just really caught.
I haven't seen anything online.
There's so many pictures.
I haven't seen everywhere. A single person call me Jared Toddlers and Tiaras Taylor.
Oh my God. That's all they call you. They don't even know your real name anymore.
I haven't seen anything, so I think you guys are playing. You're pulling my leg.
No, we're not. We're not pulling your biscuits.
You're pulling
on this.
My
dumb.
You're pulling my biscuits, Ross.
pulling your biscuits.
You're pulling my biscuits.
Yeah, we're not pulling your biscuits on this one. We love you. We love you, kids. Thanks for tuning in. We will see you soon.
Don't pull my biscuits.
Yeah, don't pull your biscuits. Come out to Freedom Fest. Come find us in Boulder, Colorado. We love you guys.
Bye.
Good night.
Baby, you're all that I want. When you're lying here in my arms, I'm finding it hard to believe we're in heaven. We're in heaven.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.